Welcome to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Driven to Business is a business forum program that focuses on success principles in business. And now, it's time for Driven to Business.
Good morning and welcome to this week's Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. Glad you're here. Let me remind you that we're streaming live right now on biz1190.com. Today's program will be podcast on eddiemayfield.com. We're here every Saturday morning at 11 right here in Atlanta's biz1190 WAFS. We have a great guest today. Our guest is Matt Klugman. Matt is the Director of Sales and Marketing for Vacation Myrtle Beach. Matt, welcome to Driven to Business.
Thanks, Eddie. I'm glad to talk with you today and appreciate you having me on.
Man, with this beautiful weather we're having here, are you in Myrtle Beach right now?
Yes, we sure are.
I wish I was.
And it's about pushing 80 degrees, sunny, maybe one or two clouds, but a pretty good day for the beach.
Hey, give us a brief rundown, Matt, of what you do there in Myrtle Beach.
Well, I am the, as you mentioned, director of sales and marketing for the Vacation Myrtle Beach Resort Group. We operate 14 oceanfront resorts in Myrtle Beach, some well-known properties: Landmark Resort, Crown Reef Resort, Caravelle Resort, Captain's Quarters Resort, and a number of other properties. And basically, we operate the entire business end of the resort, from, you know, checking guests in and making reservations and cleaning the rooms and taking care of the properties and serving food on the properties a whole bit. So my end of it is my focus is just getting people here and making sure they're checked into the property and driving a bunch of business. And then once they get here, it all kind of takes care of itself. It's pretty easy to show someone a good time in Myrtle Beach.
Matt, after we had booked you for the program, I've been doing a little bit of reading about vacation spots, vacation rentals, and the whole vacation business, sort of speak. It's a little different business than I am in. But how do people decide, for instance, here in the United States, and there are a gazillion places to go on vacation, and of course, we're such a connected world now. People, the United States can fly anywhere in the world. So what drives people to decide where they're going on vacation? You giving that any thought?
Yeah, well, we're very fortunate that Myrtle Beach has been such a strong destination for many years. Personally, I've been here for 18 years, and at the time when I first came here, we were probably pushing about 13 million visitors. Already at that point, one of the largest pure tourist destinations in the country. And at this point now, we've seen growth, and Myrtle Beach is really kind of in another phase where things are starting to take off. So we've got about 16 million people coming at this point. And, the number one, of course, word of mouth. We've got, it seems like everybody east of the Mississippi knows somebody, right, or has been to Myrtle Beach. And, that's the word of mouth. You can't beat it. That's obviously, as the old saying goes, your best form of advertising. And then, we are, after Orlando and Las Vegas, the number three tourist destination in the country, I guess, maybe depending on who you ask. But, having that name is having a location where, Myrtle Beach is well known through the years certainly helps. You mentioned about driving business. Well, literally, probably about 90 to 95% of our business drives to Myrtle Beach. So the fact that we're, we always like to say, with some of the costs of going further south with theme parks and other places, Myrtle Beach is half the distance of going to places in Florida and also half the price. So it's great value. That's something that has never changed through the years. Myrtle Beach is one of the best values for a family vacation, couples vacations, golfers. Really, we cater to just about everybody. And as I say, it's not a hard message to sell. We just, take your family on a vacation to the beach. Everybody typically wants to do that.
I did not realize you were the number I guess I'm not surprised, but I didn't realize you were the number three vacation spot. I would have known which order to put them in, Las Vegas or Orlando. But that's a pretty big accomplishment for what I don't know the history of Myrtle Beach, but it had to start off as a pretty small little beach town over there in South Carolina.
Yeah, absolutely. It's exciting to be, you know, as well known as we are at this point, and the days of the internet, if people can kind of find, you know, wherever, like you say, really anywhere they want to go, but you know, it's still, you know, no matter how far we get, you only have so much time in it, and we all have the same amount of time every day. So, you know, being able to be convenient and, you know, you can hop on a flight anywhere in the East Coast and be here in an hour and a half. You can drive your car, and it's typically, you know, we get quite a few visitors that are, you know, under 6-hour drive, and right, and some that come in 10-12 hours. And instead of driving, you know, maybe a full day to get, you know, further south into Florida.
You know, one of the here in the Atlanta area, just among all my friends, when they decide for whatever reason we want to go to the beach, you know, just whatever reason they decide to go to the beach, the decision around here is for the most part, okay, we're going to go to the Gulf beaches, or we're going to go to the Atlantic beaches, because Atlanta can get to either one fairly well.
Sure.
And so I thought I'd just ask you to give us your best sales pitch for not only Atlantic beaches, but I suppose Myrtle Beach in particular.
Well, that's, you know, it's funny you should ask, because the one thing that the Atlanta market seems to automatically think is that, you know, going down to a Gulf Coast beach is where the beach is.
Right.
And, you know, there are certainly some nice places down there, you know, that people travel to. But the reality is that Myrtle Beach, you know, as far as our beach, you know, being, of course, right on the Atlantic, as you mentioned, you know, we offer so much. We're really, the big thing is it's more than a beach. And,
right,
and we talk about, you know, you see some of the surveys and typically the beach is, you know, about 80% of the people who come here in various surveys will say the beach is one of the main reasons why they come here. But there's so many other things to do here that really separate us. And, you know, you've got the Sky Wheel, you've got aquariums, you've got amusements, parks and golf courses and great shopping and, you know, it's really got, we've got a lot of amenities here in Myrtle Beach that typically is what separates us. You know, you talk about, you know, us along with the other destinations that are really at the top, and it's not just about a beach vacation. It's about having family-friendly activities that are, you know, offer a great value. So, you know, you're not going to break the bank when you're coming here. But, you know, whether you're coming here for a weekend, for a couple days, or you're coming here for a full week, you definitely have the ability to have a real action-packed vacation when you come here.
You know, I came there with my wife and some friends a few years ago, and we came there during Christmas, as a matter of fact, and we came there very specifically to go to some of the Christmas shows that were there, which were big deal events. I didn't even know about that till it was our friends that told us about it, and I was rather astonished at what a big deal and what a big production these shows were over there. I really had no idea.
Yeah, we've got a handful of really awesome live entertainment. Alabama Theater, Legends in Concert. We've got the Palace Theater, which has a couple of in-house shows, and they'll have some other live entertainment there from time to time. We've got House of Blues is here for live music, Carolina Opry, and it kind of goes on. So, you know, again, as far as, you know, live entertainment, this is as good as it gets. You know, we've got, you know, as far as off-Broadway type stuff, the performers here are world-class, and it really is, you know, you talk about the Christmas show, and that is a very popular time for the shows, and in Myrtle Beach, I'm from up north where you get that awful white stuff falling from the sky, and you don't get the snow in Myrtle Beach, but you get, that's how you get in the Christmas spirit, is by going to these shows, and hearing the carols and the performances, and it really is great to watch.
Matt, is there a demographic? I know Myrtle Beach has a little bit of everything, but is there a particular demographic that you see there? I mean, whether senior adults or family, young families or singles, or is it all the above or what?
Well, yeah, and I asked somebody one time, and I said, you know, is it wrong to say that we cater to everybody? And you know, when I'm in advertising and marketing, you're always looking at, okay, who are we, who are we trying to reach? And, you know, that sometimes is, you know, a challenge because you're really reaching everybody. But of course, the reality is that what we're doing is we've got certain times of the year that are more conducive for specific demographics. So when you talk about, you know, senior citizens, empty nesters, that type of thing, we have, you know, in the winter months, people want to get away from the cold weather and the snow and the ice up north. So we host a number of couples that come down that are retired and they're able to travel away in winter in Myrtle Beach. And then as you get into, you know, you get into this time of year and you're dealing with golfers and weekenders and that sort of thing. And you know, typically the golfers, you know, I think golf is growing fastest in female participation over anything else, but still predominantly a male-oriented vacation. So, you know, we get quite a few golfers and we're seeing a lot more couples come in to play golf and that sort of thing. And something that's kind of hit our area recently is that there's been a big focus on youth sports, and we've built a lot of facilities in the area. So baseball fields, soccer fields, you name it. There's basketball. We just opened a new indoor sports facility where they can host basketball and volleyball, cheerleading, dance competitions, those type things. So, you know, you start to see that. And then, of course, in the summer, you know, you get the families is predominantly who comes down in the summer. And, you know, that's typically our busiest season.
Yeah, with school being out, I would imagine, you know, when my kids were at home, of course, like almost all parents with school-age kids, we were planning our vacations around school being out. That, you know, yes, this is what you, because you just have to. There's nothing else to do.
That's right.
And once they all, you know, left home, got married and moved out and everything, well, then, you know, Vicki and I, we started planning most of our cases when everybody else was not at the beach, if we wanted to go to the beach.
That's right.
So I see what you're saying. It would be people more like me would tend to be there when school. I'm more likely to be much more interested in going there when school is not going on. And but it's, you know, I love kids, but, you know, you're probably at the beach. I'd like a little more calm down there for that. After the break, I want to talk to you about the whole vacation business from an investor's standpoint. If you can hang on during the break, I appreciate you being here.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Eddie. You're
listening to Matt Klugman. Matt is the Director of Sales and Marketing for Vacation Myrtle Beach. I'm Eddie Mayfield. You're listening to Driven to Business, and more to come. Stick around. Welcome back to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. We're talking with Matt Klugman. Matt is the Director of Sales and Marketing for Vacation Myrtle Beach. He's coming to us from Myrtle Beach as the rest of us sit here in the city. And Matt, welcome back to Driven to Business. Matt, I want to talk to you a little bit about the business of the vacation business, and that encompasses a wide, I realize that's a very wide topic. We could probably talk about all sorts of things about that. But in particular, from an investment standpoint, I've done some reading about that. Apparently, the rental market in that area where people actually own condos but put them up for rent in strategic locations, and Myrtle Beach would certainly be one of those, that's a booming business. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we saw a real transition probably pushing about 10 years ago, right before the real estate bubble was kind of in full steam. And going back, I think the previous iteration of that was maybe in the mid-80s when, you know, I think some investors and developers realized that if they wanted to, you know, open up a rental property, then they could build it a lot faster and a lot easier with less out-of-pocket expense by selling the individual units. And in most cases, and nowadays, a lot of the situation, you know, it's difficult to get funding and from a bank and without selling the units, it's a very difficult task to take. So that's become a big thing. And in the past, about 10 years ago or so, there was a wave of properties that converted from hotel to condos. So where you had a handful of properties that were rented as hotels through the years, it was an opportunity from the ownership to upgrade the property significantly and, maintain the rental management while selling the units to individual owners. And you can really get a win-win situation, especially nowadays with the real estate market being as it is. It's really a strong market and really getting stronger every day, where you have a situation where the individual owner of the unit can sign the rental contract with the property. The property takes care of all of the day-to-day operations, making sure the unit is rented, making sure the unit is taken care of, making sure anything that needs to get fixed is done so. And then, the property will manage and rent the unit as the rental management company. So it's really just a way of life at this point for us. We operate a couple of hotel properties, but by and large, Myrtle Beach and the majority of our company is condo rental properties. And in a lot of the cases, our guests come and check in, and we have properties with larger units I think they expect would be individually owned, and there's properties such as Landmark Resort where the units are individually owned. Most of our guests, because they'll come in for conferences and they'll come in family vacations and all the other things that we've talked about, and they come in and it's essentially a hotel in their experience. If they don't know that it's an individually owned unit,
right?
Well, that works fine for us, and that's we keeping the consistency of the units and keeping them up to date and keeping the service levels consistent across the board. People really, I don't know if they even really care at that point. They just want to have a good time at the beach.
Man, I'm old enough to have been in business before the internet was even thought about it by average people, and so we would use and I did a lot of business travel. So in business travel, we would use travel agents to book hotels and flights and everything else, and pretty much no one does that anymore. And one of the things that I find myself doing, I have a plan, I just do it. If like we have some friends that we're going on a trip with in the kind of near future, and they had booked a hotel. Well, the very first thing, they named the hotel, they booked a hotel for us. But the very first thing I do is go online and read reviews about that hotel.
That's right.
I mean, that's the first thing I do.
Absolutely.
And I've gotten, as I think most people have, I've gotten reasonably sophisticated. There'll always be one or two bad reviews, and you sort of look at those and think, wait a minute, that could be a competitor said that,
Right.
But if the majority, if the majority say that it is a different world in there, you really can't get away with having a bad property.
That's right.
Anymore, can you?
Well, you're right. That's absolutely right. And actually, from our standpoint, I started in the business 18 years ago, and that was, I think, maybe probably within a year, we had our very first websites for our property.
Right.
And I remember back in those days, and that long preceded, the review sites and as sophisticated as they're getting, where you can now log in with Facebook and share it with
right.
friends and,
right.
and all that stuff. It was a different era, and it was you talk about the good old days, and in those days, certainly you can look fondly on some of that stuff, but the reality is the accountability was very different.
Right.
we certainly wanted to make sure that we had our took care of our guests and wanted them to come back and visit again. We talked about word of mouth and repeat business, and that's very, very important even to this day. But at this point, you need to make sure that when you have guests with issues, and we've always operated, to make sure that we're doing everything we can to take care of our guests. So, it gives a little more credibility to the business when people, are accountable, and you can see exactly what individual experiences are, And, you know, if the property is not doing the job, then you're going to know about it. If it's a great property, and, you know, you're going to have problems no matter where you go. There will be things, people make mistakes, and sometimes something might break, but it's really about how you respond to it. And you can really see, you know, how the property deals with certain situations, and, you know, just the general feedback from real travelers just makes a world of difference. When, you know, we used to do, you know, magazine ads and things like that, and it blows my mind that people would make a $1,000 or $2,000 vacation decision based on pictures in a magazine years
exactly.
ago.
What else you have to go on, though? You had nothing else to go
that's
on.
That's it. That's yeah. it. So it's really changed, and, you know, we feel like it's for the better. You know, it's from time to time you might get, like you said, you might get the review, and we're kind of scratching our heads a little bit. But at the end of the day, it's nice for us to be able to see that, you know, when we get these reviews, by and large, the majority of the reviews are positive reviews. And, you know, that's something that we're excited for people to see and share.
You know, you had mentioned earlier in the last segment, you were talking about word of mouth. You know, really, if you stop and think about it a little bit, these online reviews are really just a modern version in some ways of exactly. word of mouth, yeah. where it's just you got a little louder mouth and a few more people listening.
That's right. Well, that's, you know, we kind of lump all of that in, you know, along with Facebook and maybe not quite as much, but Twitter and Instagram, and it's all really social media, and that's really what social media is all about, is just, you know, sharing information socially. It's just in an electronic format, and people certainly interact very differently than the era we're talking about. But at the end of the day, it's just about sharing information. And nowadays, it's so much easier and faster to share information with, you know, large groups of people. So it's just one thing you have to pay attention to.
You know, I actually, some friends of mine on Facebook last night had posted, they were, I think on the West Coast, I believe, and just raving about some restaurant there. They had sort of stumbled across and how good it was. And you know, what that will do is that anyone going there, if they don't remember the name of the restaurant, they're going to call them up and say, hey, where was that restaurant you guys That's really right. liked out there? It does make such a difference.
That's right. And that restaurant never would have been heard of
exactly.
you know, beyond their experience
exactly.
after that.
Exactly. You're listening to Driven to Business. We're talking with Matt Klugman. Matt is the Director of Sales and Marketing for Vacation Myrtle Beach. Let me remind everyone again that we are here every Saturday morning at 11 o'clock right here in Atlanta's Biz 1190. And we're streaming live on biz1190.com and iTunes and other places that I'm constantly finding out about and amazed by. You're listening to Eddie Mayfield. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Driven to Business, talking with Matt Klugman. Matt is the Director of Sales and Marketing with Vacation Myrtle Beach. Matt, by the way, give us your website and how do people find you?
Yes, we are vacationmyrtlebeach.com on the web, and that's it. We're pretty proud of the website. It really is. Delivers you everything that you would need to know about Myrtle Beach. You know,
I went there. It's a great site. It really is.
Thank you. We put a lot of work and dollars into it to make sure it's a great experience for people, primarily people who may not have ever been to Myrtle Beach, because, you know, you really, one of the biggest things that we talked about earlier is trying to get people to educate people that there's so much to do in Myrtle Beach. So certainly we want to promote our properties. You talk about Landmark Resort. We've got water park and Lazy River and conference space and, you know, one of the largest properties in Myrtle Beach and a great place to be with a ton of stuff to do, restaurants and the whole thing.
Right.
And then, you know, beyond that, it's there, you know, there's so much with, we talked about the theaters and we talk about the aquarium and all the attractions and all that information right there. There's blogged editorial and articles written by our team and, you know, further educating that, you know, a lot of the questions people will ask. We talk about social media. People, you know, it's a two-way conversation with your customer now. So, you know, we know what people want to know about. So there, you know, we had somebody ask about flights into Myrtle, inexpensive flights to Myrtle Beach. So we just wrote something up about Spirit and Allegiant Air flying right. in at discounted rates. So, you know, there's a whole lot of information that, you know, it's just really listening to the people who are our potential guests and responding to what they need. Typically, if you have somebody asking a question, as you've always heard, there's, you know, hundreds of other people that have the same question and just don't ask it.
Right. When you, this may be an impossible question, but in your marketing research and so forth, is there any one thing that people tend to come to Myrtle Beach for above everything else, or is that not so?
Well, it's a seasonal thing for sure. You know, obviously the beach being the primary attraction, and this time of year golf is a very very large activity. You know, we're just under 90 golf courses at the beach, so that brings a, you know, with when they're pushing 250 golfers out per golf course per day, that's a whole lot of golfers that come into Myrtle Beach and play in this beautiful weather we're having. So, you know, really, because it's such a, you know, you've got shopping, and, you know, you talked about the live entertainment, there's so many reasons that outside of the beach, typically what we'll see is anywhere from, you know, when we do these surveys, and people can choose as many activities as they're interested in the survey, you'll see, of course, beach, as we mentioned, you know, be in the 80s as far as the percentage level, right. And then all these other activities in the 20-30%. So that's really where we get a very diverse group of visitors, because there is so much to do, and people do have such varying arrays of interest.
We've talked off and on about customer service quite a bit, and you guys operate a pretty substantial operation there, again, of making people feel welcome. And I always like to ask people that are involved in any kind of leadership roles in business about the idea of customer service. You know, even a small company like ours, the EMA, our company, we spend a lot of our time and have spent actually a lot of money on systems to try and ensure that we are on top of what we do with customers and that we're delivering a good experience. That's a completely different business than what you're in. We're not a vacation business.
Absolutely,
we're an industrial automation business.
Sure.
But nonetheless, when we have customers, we want them to leave us very satisfied with their last experience with us. And if they're not satisfied, we want to know why. I think people that are naive about business think that somehow you luck into that, but you don't at all, do you?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, you know, we actually, you know, before people even, we talked about TripAdvisor and some of these review sites, before people even reach the internet, you know, we're able to reach people, you know, about their stay before they even really turn around and get back to their real life. So, you know, in the old days, we'd have comment cards in the room and on the front desk counter, and you know, we might get three or four
right.
a week. It's something that it was kind of a pain to have to fill out, you know.
Well, those are people that are mad fill them out usually anyway.
And it's important that you know about those yeah. folks that might be mad. But, you know, so really what we do now is we send an email survey immediately after somebody checks out and they're able to tell us about their stay. And that way we can tackle issues. You know, we realize that some things may go wrong, but we do everything we can to atone for them. But by and large, you know, we're seeing that, you know, a lot of positive response on surveys, and when there might be some sort of misstep, then we make sure that we contact each person individually and reach out and make the situation right. And not really just because, you know, we certainly want to have repeat guests and we want to, you know, we want to make sure that people visit us again, but it's just the right thing to do. You want to make sure, you know, we are in the hospitality business, and I would say that, you know, the large majority of us chose this industry. It didn't choose us,
right.
and we, you know, wanted to be in a situation where we're making people happy. And, you know, when you have somebody who's unhappy, well, that just is a challenge to us to make it right. And a lot of us who have been at the beach for a long time find that we've developed friendships with guests, because if you have guests with, you know, a couple problems during the course of their stay, and we don't want to let it get to the end of the stay, you know, where before we're taking care of the problems, you're having conversations and you're spending a little bit of time with these folks, and you start getting to know them. And when you fix it and they see that you know, you're you know, truly concerned about them individually, and they're not just another number at our properties, you know, that's when you start to develop relationships with people and that sort of thing. So that's really a gratifying thing when we have, you know, folks that maybe if they don't have a great initial experience, by the time the end of their stay comes, everything is great.
You know, a lot of marketing research have said that if you have a customer with whom you have had a problem and successfully resolved that problem to everybody's satisfaction, that actually is a stronger customer to you and more likely to do repeat business with you than one who never had an issue. Our family went to a theme park here, our entire extended family with a bunch of grandkids went to a theme park here some time ago, and it didn't all go exactly well. It wasn't all their fault, but it didn't all go exactly well in the beginning. But they were so nice about fixing everything that wasn't right that we left there with the highest regard for them, you know, and have just talked them up since about what a great job they did, even though there was a bit of a, you know, there were some flub-ups in the beginning of that. But that's just the way I think things are, is that you people just want to know that you do. Everybody screws up. I think every human being understands that every other human being can screw up. They just want to know you care about it.
That's right.
And you're going to do something about it.
And how you're going to respond. Right.
Right. Exactly. Get that back. Let's talk a little bit about promotion or marketing. How do you market Myrtle Beach? Or is it all word of mouth? Or we had mentioned advertising. Do you advertise?
Oh yeah, we do quite a bit. We're fortunate in this area that we have a strong chamber of commerce that advertises. That advertises up and down the East Coast and beyond. Right. You know, we are part of there's about 100. I want to say there's a little over 100 members that we as a community, Myrtle Beach has always worked very well together to be stronger than the sum of its parts, and that's first and foremost been, you know, kind of the heritage of Myrtle Beach from the golf course community to the lodging community and so on, and they're able to do certain things like educating people. You know, you talk about in Atlanta and being able to show that, you know, that Myrtle Beach is so much more than, you know, just a typical beach vacation. So they do a lot of TV advertising and that sort of thing. That type of stuff we might not be able to afford as much on our own.
Right.
We kind of hit targeted areas with some TV advertising that we have, but it's not something that's up and down the East Coast. With, you know, Carolinas is a huge driver of business for us. You know, when you talk about the off season and you know, inside 3 to 4 hours is the primary target for us this time of year. You know, we're able to kind of selectively hit those folks, and then, you know, really what we're after is, you know, we like to build our databases and you know, just grow our list, whether it's socially, whether it's email lists, mailing lists, that sort of thing. And we hit, you know, traditional through mail, and we hit, you know, we have quite a strong email campaign that we push out typically about once a week, and we monitor, you know, to make sure that we're not hitting people too much, and we're getting now where we're starting to target people based on preferences and that sort of thing. So, you know, hopefully when you receive one of our emails, it's something that is of interest to you, because we talk about all the different types of people and types of interests that they have that bring them ultimately to Myrtle Beach. So we are getting more and more, we're bringing science more and more into our marketing, where, you know, we're trying to target based on, you know, maybe somebody books every, you know, every May 4th, and you know, we want to be in front of them on May 4th if that's when they're booking their reservation. So, you know, it's a situation where, you know, we are really trying to give people customized messages, what they want, when they want it, and in the manner that they want to receive it. So, you know, it's getting more and more sophisticated, and, you know, it can be a little bit overwhelming when you're trying to swallow the whole thing in one bite. So we just kind of chip away at it. And when you look back, you know, what you've done over the last month or the 6 months or the last year, and you can see the progress that you know, you're really starting to bring science and measurement into what you're doing. It's very important to us.
We've interviewed several people on here that, for lack of better terms, are really kind of geeks in the data manipulation business and how they do it. And you can take two approaches to that. You either can just you can be fearful of it from a privacy standpoint, but on the other hand, wouldn't you like to? There is something good about getting emails about something you actually are interested in, and by using data properly, people can do it. I think a lot of us in business probably need to learn how to do that a lot better. You're listening to Driven to Business. One more segment to go. I'm Eddie Mayfield. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the final segment of today's Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. By the way, if you missed part of today's program, you can catch it immediately following this program on eddiemayfield.com, the podcast. You will also catch it on iTunes in a day or so if you check that out. We're talking with Matt Klugman. Matt is the Director of Sales and Marketing for Vacation Myrtle Beach, and you find Matt at vacationmyrtlebeach.com. By the way, I should say, in the interest of keeping things going in our company here, our sales manager, David Brigden, has an oceanfront condo listed with Matt there. So you can go to vacationmyrtlebeach.com and rent David's condo. I'm sure he'll like it. So
that's right. And I mentioned Landmark Resort a couple times, and we've got all different kinds of rooms, and I know his is an oceanfront suite. It's probably about the most popular kind we have. So,
all right.
Yeah, I'm sure he does well with that.
Yeah, so keep David happy. Go there and take care of it. So he'll sell a lot of drives for us.
That's right.
We have mixed things here. We were talking about marketing and customer service and things of those sorts. Let me ask you, this is not to throw any water at all or anything we're doing here, but you know, we've seen news reports recently of like some spring breakers, for instance, getting a little out of control down at a couple of beach towns. And I would think those of you that are in this business, you sort of have to walk a line between making sure people do, in fact, have a really good time, and at the same time, stay under some control of this. How do you walk that line?
Well, for sure, and we don't make any bones about it. We are, you know, primarily a family environment, and we make sure that we have to preserve that environment. So when you have families staying, that A, they're able to sleep through the night. That's the most important thing about staying in a hotel. And B, that the environment is appropriate for, you know, families and kids and that sort of thing. So, you know, we are aggressive when we're dealing with those sorts of things. We typically, majority of our properties rent to folks 21 and up. And, and you know, we're very clear about, you know, the type of property that if you're coming and looking for a wild spring break situation, that this is not really where you want to go. You're not going to have fun with us, and if you're looking for that kind of thing, and there's certainly other places where you probably can do that. So it really hasn't been a huge issue. You know, you'll have maybe one or two guests pop up from time to time, but the reality is that it's you know, people know what we're here for, and based on the things that we offer with families and that sort of thing, that's typically the guests that we get. So it's really not a huge impact. And you know, when we have situations arise, we deal with them, and it's all about taking care of the greater good. So, you know, if somebody's out of line, then you know, we've got to preserve. We've got a whole lot of other guests that need to be protected from, you know, being able to have a good time as well. So, you know, we just deal with those very swiftly.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I was actually thinking about in preparation for the show here, some years ago, back when our company was a lot younger, this is, you know, we've been in business 25 years, so this is back, you know, 15 years ago or more than that. Whenever I would leave town, we were not a one-man show. We had employees, but I had not really developed a really good team too much at that time. And every time we would leave town, Vicki would want us to go on vacation somewhere, and I would always buck it a little bit, saying, we're going to lose money while I'm out of town, you know, because something's going to happen and it's not getting handled. One of the things, two things have happened with that. The main thing is we developed a fantastic team at EMA now that really I can be gone for a month, and it still will probably run better than it was when I was there. But the second thing about it, technology has allowed me, and I hear a lot of guys say this now, technology has allowed me to stay in touch no matter where I am. You know, I have pretty much full contact with anything, either via a smartphone or anything. And I think that may have, I don't know, I'm not an expert in a vacation business by any means. But I would think that does free people up to travel a bit more, just knowing that you're not turning loose of all your business responsibilities. You can relax, but you're in touch too.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a situation, you know, we see it. So, you know, every just about everybody that comes through now is you know, connected all the time. And, you know, we see, one thing we do see is we see more frequent stays, but we're seeing maybe they're coming for four nights instead of a week.
Right.
You know, you get the traditional old school family vacation where you'd pull in driveway on Saturday and you'd leave either the following Saturday or Sunday. That's not quite as prevalent as it used to be, but, you know, people are you know, when they start asking about Wi-Fi, you know, and that's an amenity that,
right,
you know, all of our resorts offer for free, because you know that, you know, people are there to have fun, but when they get up in the morning, drink a cup of coffee in the room, then, you know, it's let me answer this email, or at the end of the day, let me go ahead and knock a couple things out. And that way, you know, we all know what it's like to get back to the office, you know, prior to staying connected, and, you know, you'd come back from a vacation, and it's almost, you almost wish you hadn't taken
vacation. Exactly. I've heard people say that. I wish I hadn't left.
Piled on. So, yeah. You know, now it's you know, people stay plugged in, and it's just the way we are now, and, you know, you see people down there with laptops or tablets at the pools, and of course, you know, obviously the cell phones that, you know, just about everybody's got. So it really is, allows a, you know, more connected world, and you know, people can kind of get out and do some things maybe they were where they were tied down in the past.
Matt, how did you get into this business? You said you're from up north. How did you get into the hospitality business?
You know, it was kind of dumb luck. I actually, I'm originally from Albany, New York, which is a very cold environment in the winter months. And
right.
I had some friends that were down this way, and threw a bug in my ear after I graduated college. And I said, you know, I spent some time in the Maryland area, and I said, you know, it doesn't have to be 3 feet of snow and 20 below in January. So I headed south and got a job. I actually started at the Caravelle Resort and just working front desk, and enjoyed it, and kind of worked my way through, and ended up running a couple properties about 7-8 years later. And as it developed, I really enjoyed the developing of business and revenue, and you know, who doesn't like to make money? It's
right.
when you're in business, that's really what it's all about. So I really enjoyed that end of the business, and being able to you know, grow our occupancies and you know, spread the word about what we are and who we are. And about 9 years ago, I jumped into the marketing side, and we've taken off. And you know, that was before, I think at that time Facebook was there were accounts for kids in college, and you know, the general public couldn't even log on without an EDU email address. So
right.
Now we've got Vacation Myrtle Beach, we've got about 260,000 fans on Facebook, Landmark Resort. I think we're about 90,000 fans, and we'll be probably 100,000 well before the end of the year. And you know, how it's changed is amazing. It's and it's going, you know, 1,000 miles an hour every day.
You know, your story is what I hear over and over. Where somebody gets into a business, and it's my own story actually. You know, you get into a business, not this idea. You come out of college and immediately start in a management position.
That's right.
A little is.
We
fallacy.
All thought we were going to, right?
I did too. Yeah, we all thought that, but that's just not life for
that's
most
right.
of us. That's not the way it is. But you know, you burrow into a business, you get into it, you learn that you like the business, and then you learn you're good at some part of it, and you grow the career. I think that is such a great way to grow a career, and I encourage kids coming out of college to do exactly that. Just plug in someplace and learn. Get to be good at it, you know. Learn expertise and become
yeah,
valuable.
Absolutely. And I'm a little biased, but you know, in our industry, there's so many directions to go in, and I got in because it was exciting, and you get to meet a lot of, you know, new people from all over the country, and
right.
sometimes in other from other countries, and going to work and enjoying it. You know, I thought about, you know, having a degree and maybe going back to get, you know, an advanced degree or whatever it might be. And you know, you take the gamble that maybe you're not going to enjoy what you do, you know, if you're, you know, rolling dice and going after something else. And this was just an environment that I'd love from day one.
You can tell that in hearing you speak. Hey, thanks for being on the program. Great job today. I appreciate it. I learned a lot about
it. Thank you.
The deal. You're listening to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. We'll see you again next week.
You've been listening to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Visit next Saturday at 11 a.m. on Biz 1190 for more Driven to Business. To learn more about Driven to Business, visit eddiemayfield.com or call 770-448-4644.